Dear God of heaven, we are so thankful tonight for another opportunity of life and the privilege you have given us this evening to hear the message of salvation through your son, Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for the gospel preacher and Brother Blackwell, who will stand bold this evening upon your word. Pray, Lord, that he teaches those things, those tenets, those precepts, that pattern of doctrine that we read about in the Bible that tells us about your love for mankind through your son, Jesus, his great sacrifice on the cross, about the empty sepulcher when you raised him with all power and all authority. Pray, Lord, that he teaches about his church that he purchased with his own blood that he shed at Calvary's Mount. We pray, Lord, that someone wants to come in contact with that blood this evening. Pray, Lord, someone wants to be added to your son's church. Pray, Lord, that somebody wants to obey the gospel. Lord, if it be within your permissive will this evening, we pray that we have such truth seekers who are on the call tonight who are searching for the truth. Thank you, Lord, that Brother Blackwell is speaking this evening to stand in their path and to present your truth before them in your inspired book, the Bible. We pray, Lord, for humble hearts, sincerity, and someone who is seeking your truth. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
We're thankful to have everyone on tonight. We're very thankful to have each and every person, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You're our honored guests. And we're excited to have you on our call tonight. We pray you'll take your Bible and open it up and get ready to study with us from the Word of God. We're thankful again to have each and every one of our speakers across the nation joining us each night. We've been doing this since the month of May, and we have been blessed to have many speakers volunteer their time to help us with this outreach.
We'll let Brother Black come in his own way. Brother Blackwell.
All right. It is good to be with you tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about Saul. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, shortly before his death, wrote this. He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth," in other words, because of that, "there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." In Philippians 1 and verse 21, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "I'm torn between two things. I have the desire to depart and to be with the Lord, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." When I read passages like these, friends, they give me the greatest confidence that the Apostle Paul was a saved individual and that he will spend eternity in heaven with God. But the very interesting thing is the very same thing that saves Paul is the exact same thing that will save you and that will save me and that will save every other living person today. We have to go through the same steps that Paul did if we're going to obtain eternity in heaven. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at the conversion of Paul, or Saul as his name was originally before it was changed. And what we're going to do to start with is we're going to look at some things that did not save Saul. And the reason we're going to do that is because some of the things that did not save Saul are the very things that are being taught by preachers in the world today in order to be saved. But you know what? If they didn't save Saul then, they're not going to save us today. The title of the lesson tonight is Saul and Salvation. Now, I want to begin our study tonight in the Bible where it first introduces us to this man who is named Saul. He later becomes the Apostle Paul. His name first appears in Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. The Lord's church has only been in existence for a few years, and there was a great gospel preacher at that time who was named Stephen. Stephen had gone to the city of Jerusalem, and he is preaching the gospel. As Stephen is preaching Christ to these people, the Jews become so angry that they cried out, they ran, and they grabbed Stephen. They physically drug his body outside of the city, and they stoned him to death until that faithful preacher died. But here's the verse I want you to get. Acts chapter 7 and verse 58 says, "And they laid their clothes down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." This is the first time we meet Saul is when they're stoning to death a faithful preacher. The reason for this is, you see, Saul was a Jew. In fact, he was of the strictest type of a Jew called a Pharisee. Now, that's going to bring us to our first point tonight, and that is the first thing that did not save Saul, point number one, is Judaism. Now, I want you to understand that Judaism at one time was the religion of God's people, but not since Acts chapter 2 and the gospel being extended to the whole world has that been the case. Since that time, all men everywhere have been required to become Christians. Acts chapter 2, all Jews had to become Christians. Acts chapter 10, all Gentiles had to become Christians. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul is going to say to some Jewish Christians who were trying to go back to the Jewish religion, he says, "Whosoever is justified by the law of Moses, ye are fallen from grace." That is, they were Jews, but they'd become Christians, but they were going back trying to be saved as Jews again. He said, if you do that, you've fallen from grace. That is, you're going to lose your soul. You can't go back and be a Jew anymore. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, Paul said, salvation is found only in Christ Jesus. But, of course, Jews deny that. And so a man today who tries to hold to Judaism, he's going to be lost. But, you know, I hear some people today talk about how the Jews are God's chosen people. Friends, that's not true. Today, Christians are God's chosen people. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, Peter said, but ye, that is Christians, ye are a chosen generation. I heard a denominational preacher one night. He was on Larry King Live, and he was saying that the Jews and the Muslims who do not accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, he said that they're going to be saved anyway. Friends, I was shocked to hear that, that he said Jews are going to be saved. He said Muslims are going to be saved if they reject Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:24, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. But you know, it goes to show us that very often men, even preachers, even religious leaders, are teaching things that are contrary to God's word when it comes to how to be saved. Saul was a Jew, but he was lost. And today, all Jews will be lost if they do not accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Here's a second thing that did not save Saul, and that is his religious zeal. When we leave Acts chapter 7 and the stoning of Stephen, we move to the next chapter, Acts chapter 8, and the Bible says that Saul made havoc of the church. That means that he really caused them a lot of trouble. The Bible says he entered into every house. He threw Christians into prison. He was killing Christians. He was putting them in jail. He was tearing up families. Galatians 1 and verse 13, he says, beyond measure, I persecuted the church of God. That is, you can't even measure how bad it was the way I attacked the church. Verse 14, Galatians 1:14, he said, being exceedingly zealous in the tradition of my fathers. That is, I was so faithful to the Jewish religion, I just attacked these Christians. I persecuted, I murdered them. Friends, you know, many people in the religious world have the idea that as long as a person is zealous toward God, it doesn't really matter what he believes. It doesn't really matter what he does. But Paul said he was exceedingly zealous, but he found out he wasn't right. He found out he was fighting against God. And so though he was a zealous man, he was a lost man. And so being a Jew today won't save you. Being zealous alone won't save you. Here's a third thing that did not save Saul, and that is having a good conscience. Now, why do I say that? I say that because specifically in Acts chapter 23, Paul is standing before the Jewish council, and he makes an absolutely amazing statement. He says, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Now, folks, that's an incredible statement. I couldn't say that. I couldn't say that I have always lived in perfectly good accord with my conscience, that I've never violated my conscience. But Saul said that. I want you to appreciate this with me. I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Friends, that means when Paul was living as a Jew, he was living in a good conscience. That means when he was persecuting Christians, he had a good conscience. That means when they stoned Stephen to death and they threw these large rocks at his face, at his head, until it gashed his skull open and he bled to death right in front of Paul, he says, it didn't violate my conscience. But friends, all the while that Saul was living in sin, he felt like he was living right. Now, that tells me one thing for sure, and that is my feelings are not a reliable source of determining right or wrong if I'm saved or if I'm lost. You know, there's an amazing verse in Proverbs 14 and verse 12. It says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, there might be a way that seems right, that feels right, but the Bible says that way will lead you to death. Folks, a lot of people today base their salvation on their own personal feelings, their own personal conscience, what seems right, what feels right, but the Bible says that will lead you astray. You see, sometimes people today will put their hand on their heart and they will say, I know I'm saved because I feel it in my heart. But 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13 says, there is a way that we can know that we're saved. John says, these things I have written unto you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. John says, the way that we can know we have eternal life is by the written word of God. It's not by my conscience. It's not by my feelings. You see, people's conscience is only as good as how they train it. People's feelings are subjective. They vary from person to person. It's only by the written word of God. You know, Matthew 7, 21 through 23 tells us that on the day of judgment, there are going to be a lot of people. In fact, Jesus says many people who felt like they are saved. Jesus says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And cast out devils in your name, and done many wonderful works in your name. But I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. And so Saul lived in a good conscience. He felt like everything was okay, but he was a lost man. So what do we have? Judaism would not save him. His zeal would not save him. Having a good, clear conscience would not save him. Here's a fourth thing that would not save him, and that was belief in Jesus Christ would not save him. Now listen carefully what I'm going to say. In Acts chapter 9, Saul, in all of his zeal, had assembled a team of men and supplies and horses, and they'd gotten letters from the high priest, and they were traveling from city to city to persecute Christians. On this particular trip, they were going to the city of Damascus. Along the way, Christ appeared to him, and Saul fell off his horse. Acts 9 and verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, that is Paul, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it will be told what you must do. Now, friends, it is obvious from this text that Saul's subsequent behavior, that he believed the Lord. He said, who are you? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Saul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? It is quite obvious that Saul believed. And friends, the Bible teaches the necessity of belief to a man's salvation. In Mark 16:16, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And so a person has to believe. Now somebody might say, well, what is it I'm supposed to believe? What does that entail? Well, the Bible teaches a man must understand and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You must understand that Jesus is deity. Listen to me. You've got to understand that Jesus is God. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus is God. You can't go to heaven if you don't believe Jesus is God. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the first thing you've got to believe is the deity of Jesus. Jesus is God. Secondly, you've got to believe in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus. How that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. How he arose, defeating death, 1 Corinthians 15:54-55. Romans 10:9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so you've got to believe Jesus is God. You've got to believe in his death. You've got to believe in his burial, in his resurrection. And it is crucial that you believe and understand the body of Jesus Christ. Now, what am I talking about? In Ephesians 1:22-23, the Bible says that the body of Christ is his church. The body of Christ is the church of Christ. And so a person has to understand the one body, that is the one church, not a denomination. You don't read about denominations in the Bible. The body of Christ is the one and only church of Christ. And so what do you have to believe? You have to believe in the deity of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and the body of Christ, which is the one church of Christ. In Acts 8:12, the Bible says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now notice it says, when they believed, what did they believe? The things concerning the kingdom of God. The kingdom is the church. It is the body. They understood those things. They were baptized, both men and women. Incidentally, the text says men and women were baptized. Just as a side point, we don't ever read about little children being baptized because they don't need to. Only those who are accountable in the eyes of God are those who have reached a certain level of mental development. They have to be old enough to believe. But friends, this is what I want you to get. Even though Saul believed, Saul is still a lost man, because belief alone will not save anybody. In John 12:42, the Bible tells about a group of people who believed on Christ, but the Bible says because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, they would not follow through in obedience, and they remain lost. And you know, many people are like that today. They believe, but they won't follow through in obedience. And so if a person has zeal and he has a good conscience, but he and even if he believes, if he stops right there, he is going to be a lost person. So Judaism would not save Saul. His zeal would not save Saul. His good conscience would not save Saul. Belief in Jesus Christ would not save Saul if he stopped right there. Here is a fifth thing that would not save Saul, and that was repentance. Now, I want you to get this. If a man's going to be saved, he has to believe. But if he stops right there, he's lost. Secondly, a man has to believe and he has to repent. But if he stops right there, he's going to be lost. Listen to this in Acts 9. Saul, when he sees Jesus, he trembles, he's astonished, he falls to the ground. He says, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord told him to go into the city. And Acts 9:8 says, Saul arose from the earth, his eyes were open. He saw no man, But they led him by the hand, and they brought him into Damascus, and he was there for 3 days without sight, and he did not eat, neither did he drink. Friends, nowhere does the Bible specifically tell us that Saul repented, but it doesn't have to, because it's obvious from his behavior. Repentance is a change of mind brought about by godly sorrow that results in a change of life. Clearly, Saul is experiencing sorrow. The Bible says he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Why? Because he's grieving. And even though Saul had seen the Lord, and even though he is a believer, even though he is a penitent man, I want you to observe with me that he is a lost man. Now, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of repentance. The Bible does say it's necessary for a man to repent if he's going to be saved. On the day of Pentecost, when the people said, "What must I do to be saved?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Acts 17 and verse 30 says, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." And so we fully recognize that repentance is necessary to salvation. But if a man stops after belief, he's lost. If he stops after belief and repentance, he is lost. And so Saul, at this moment, is still lost. But I want you to see a sixth thing that did not save Saul, and that is prayer. Now, Saul has gone into Damascus. He has not eaten. He has not had anything to drink for 3 days. The Lord sends a preacher to visit Saul. This preacher's name is Ananias. When Ananias, the Lord says to Ananias, "I want you to arise. I want you to go to the street that is called Straight Street. Inquire at the house of one named Judas," he said, "for one who is called Saul, for behold, he is praying." Now, I want you to get this. This is very important. The Holy Spirit did not include this phrase in the Bible by accident. It is there to teach us an important lesson. He said, "Go find Saul because he is praying." That is a very important fact. Now, Saul is a lost individual. Now, let's trace it. Saul is a believing individual. Saul is a penitent individual. That means he has repented. Saul is a praying individual. The Bible says he's praying, but Saul is still a lost individual. He is a person who has repented, who believes, and is praying, but he is lost. How do I know that? Because in Acts 22:16, when Ananias gets to him, he says to him, "Saul, why tarriest thou?" In other words, what are you waiting for? "Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins." You catch that? It means Saul is still in his sins. He believes, but he's still in his sins. He's repented, but he's still in his sins. He's praying to God, but he is still in his sins. Now, why is that so important? Friends, this is so important because many people in the religious world today teach that all that a person has to do to be saved is to pray to Jesus. In fact, there's a little book that I picked up in my neighborhood one day. It was being passed around on different doorsteps. And that book says this. This is a quote that I took out of the book. It says, "You are a sinner, and surely you're sorry because of that. Right now, where you are, lift your heart to God in prayer, for God is anxious to save you. Just say, 'Oh God, I am a sinner. I am sorry. I repent. Have mercy on me and save me for Jesus' sake.' Now, just take him at his word." You might say, "Surely that's not all that's necessary to be saved." But this book says, yes, that is absolutely all. Now, friends, I want you to listen to me very carefully. That is an answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" But the problem is, it is a wrong answer. It is an answer that will cause men and women to be lost. It is an answer that will cause men to be in that group to whom the Lord will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." This plan in this little book says, just call upon God by saying a prayer, and you will be saved. But again, Jesus specifically says in Matthew 7:21, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. So I want you to consider something with me right now. What is the problem with praying for salvation? Number one, it is not found anywhere in the Bible. Friends, nowhere in the pages of the New Testament do we ever read about anyone praying a prayer in order to be saved and to become a Christian. In this little denominational booklet that I've been referencing here, they cite Luke chapter 18 and verse 13 as an example of a sinner's prayer. It's where the Bible says a publican goes to the temple to pray, and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Friends, that's not a sinner's prayer. Number one, that man was a Jew who was living under the law of Moses. He wasn't a Christian, and he wasn't living under the law of Christ. Number two, the prayer that he prayed didn't make him a Christian because the Christian system and the church had not come into existence, historically speaking. Number four, Christ had not even died at that point. You see, the example of this publican is totally irrelevant to my salvation today in the Christian age. There is no example of a person in the Christian age ever praying to be saved, because that's not how we're saved. Now, at one point in the New Testament, we do read about a penitent man, a believing man who was praying to God. And that's the case we're studying right now. That is Saul of Tarsus. That's the only time you read about a believing, penitent man praying to God. Acts 9 and verse 11 says, behold, he is praying. But even though Saul was believing, even though he was penitent, even though he's praying, the Bible says he was lost. Now again, how do I know that? I know it because when Ananias arrived at the house where Saul was, where he was praying, in Acts 22:16, he says to Saul, what are you waiting for? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins. You see, friends, Saul was still in his sin. Even after believing, he's still in his sin. Even after repenting, he's still in his sin. Even after praying, he's still in his sin. And sin is what causes me to be lost. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The reason any man or woman will go to hell eternally is because of their sin. The result of sin is eternal damnation in hell. And Saul is still in his sin at this point. So what's he told to do about his sin? Here's the remedy for the sin problem. Ananias told him to arise and be baptized. Friends, you see, the Bible teaches that a man must believe the gospel. Saul already believed. The Bible teaches that a man must repent. Saul had already repented. The Bible teaches that a man must confess Christ. Romans 10 and 10 says, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Saul had already done that or is about to do that. The only thing that Saul lacked in order to obey the Lord is he had to be baptized in water for the remission of his sins. And so Ananias says, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Dear friend, if you're listening tonight, you need to know, I can't be saved from my sins until my sins have been washed away in the blood of Jesus in baptism. This verse says, Acts 22:16 says, blood, it says that sins are washed away in baptism. Now, what that means is, I can't be saved first and baptized later, as is commonly taught in the denominational world. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I can't have my sins remitted before I'm baptized. Therefore, I can't be saved before I'm baptized. A man can't be saved until he has appropriated to himself the cleansing blood of Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, the way I appropriate to myself the cleansing blood of Jesus, the way I contact the blood, is through baptism. Jesus shed his blood in his death, and it is in his death that I contact that blood. How do I know that? Romans 6 and verse 3 says this, Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now, Jesus shed his blood in his death. I'm baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So what does that mean? I'm buried in the water. I'm buried into his death. I contact his blood, and I'm raised, the Bible says, to walk in newness of life. So I go down into the water as a sinful, lost individual. I come up in newness of life. Why? Because it is there that I am washed in blood. Friends, in examining the life of Saul, I learn a lot of good lessons, but not among the least are the things that will not bring me eternal salvation. Friends, if you are listening tonight, we want you to know that you can't be saved in the wrong religion. You can't be saved just because you feel like you're saved. You can't be saved by faith alone or repentance alone or anything alone, but that a man must obey the gospel of Christ. That involves hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And then the Lord will add you to the one church that we read about in the New Testament. If you are listening to the program tonight and you are not a part of the church that Jesus purchased with his blood, we want you to reach out to us so that we can study with you and teach you what is necessary to do to become a child of God. Thank you so much for listening. It has been a pleasure for me to be with you tonight.
Yeah, well, it's been a pleasure to have you on the call again tonight. We thank you so very much, Brother Blackwell, for the message about Saul. Certainly we wanted those details, and we know Saul was not saved. The Apostle Paul, as we know him, was not saved until Ananias went to him. And Ananias told him to arise and be baptized. And he did just that. And we want our listening audience tonight to know that these messages that we're preaching on this call this week, many of those who were saved in the first century in the book of Acts. And so tonight, if you're on the call, you have not been baptized for the remission of sins, or perhaps you prayed that sinner's prayer like I did when I was younger, you got to do it over. You got to go back and get this right by obeying the gospel according to the truth. Be baptized for the remission of sin, knowing that you know the truth now, and then the Lord will add you to the only true church in the Bible, and that is the Church of Christ. And what we encourage you to do is get back with the person who invited you to the call tonight and tell them you want to know more, you want to be baptized, or you want a Bible class, and I'm certainly sure that they would make the arrangements for you. Perhaps you want to contact us directly, go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. If you desire to be baptized, like many have done on our program, we will make the arrangements no matter where you are. We'll make sure we get a Church of Christ preacher to you. If you need further teaching, or we get them to you to help you with the baptism, to ensure that we do everything we can to help you save your own soul. Amen. And so we thank you for being on the call. If you want to go back and listen to the call tonight, just go ahead and go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you will find all of our messages from the Nationwide Gospel Meeting call. That you would click on the sermons and everything is there, and we'll be able to download the flyer, download the message, rewind it, go back and listen more carefully if you need to take notes and things. We'll do everything we can to help you most important thing of the greatest decision of your life, of anyone's life, and that is to obey the truth, obey God, that your soul will be saved. Some people are dying every day. We see that with the COVID-19. So certainly all of us got a date. God is going to call that number. It's appointed the man wants to die. After that, there will be a judgment, my friends. Don't put it off. Obey it before it's eternally too late. Let us pray for you. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord, who hung on the cross, shedded the blood and washed our sins away in baptism. That same blood purchased his church, the Church of Christ. And we're so thankful that we have the Bible, that your word, and we can read it and we can study it, and it give us plain and simple instructions
of what we must do to be saved. And Lord, thank you for loving the world, that you was able to send your only son. You done that. Father, you gave him. He gave his life. And we're so thankful for your love and the love he showed by giving up his life. Now, we pray for our visitors, those who are listening tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ, that they've been invited to our call. We pray they have received your word with meekness, as you stated through your book, that they're able to save their souls. And Father, we pray for them. We pray for all of us. We pray for our efforts. We pray for the world as a whole. We pray for the United States. We pray, Father, that the world will obey you before it's eternally, everlastingly too late. Give us time, Father. We pray for your mercy and your grace upon us as we continue to reach out through this program to carry out the command your son left us. That is to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. We are doing that through this program, Father. We pray your blessings upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We thank everyone for joining us tonight. Brother Tommy Brooks, host minister. I pray you'll join us tomorrow night for another message from the Word of God. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home with a message from God. Have a good night.